We'll be talking about Holocaust Remembrance Day, observed annually as a commemoration for the approximately 6 million Jews murdered in the Holocaust. And we've got with us this morning Arnie Milner, president of the Agudath B'nai Israel Synagogue in Lorain. He also puts together the remembrance programs here in Lorain County. And you've got a couple of them coming up, May 5th and May 6th. That's a Sunday and a Monday. And quite unique. I know we've talked in the past. You've been bringing different people to speak on the Holocaust, Holocaust survivors, those who had family members, and interesting ways of interpreting the Holocaust or showing that to people. Let's talk about some of the things you have planned for this year and how this program came about, if you will, Arnie.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be on the radio and get the word out about the program. This year, every year is a different program, and the amazing thing is, in my mind, is almost like how this, how these programs, in a sense, come to me. I feel like I do a lot of work putting it together, but somehow it's almost like something happens, you know, almost like a divine presence brings this program to me. And this year, I have a friend who's in our synagogue, and she likes to go to recitals at the Oberlin College when they have them, mainly in the spring. And she goes to a lot of them, and she came to me and she said, I just went to a recital where a young woman who's graduating talked to the audience and said, I'm dedicating this last song to my grandmother, who's a Holocaust survivor, who's in the audience tonight. And she sang a song called I Believe, which is actually a poem that was scratched into the wall of a concentration camp. And it was then interpreted into music. And she sang this beautiful song. And luckily, the person that went to the recital recorded that for me. And I said to this person, Janice, I said, why don't you see if you can reach this student and see if, you know, her and her grandmother would come to the program next year. So she did that for me, and then I got in contact with them, and then one day I, you know, went out to Baltimore and flew in for the day just to meet the Holocaust survivor, and we got along great, and it was an amazing day. And since then, we've been putting together this program with her and her granddaughter actually coming to the program. And granddaughter will be singing that song in the program. So it's kind of how that happened this year. So every year it seems to be different how it all comes about. But it was just you know, a great thing that Janice went to the program. And so now we have this program set up.
And that the young lady that will be singing it from the Oberlin Conservatory is Emily Mandel. And her grandmother is Holocaust survivor Carol Wilner. What did you learn about Carol's story? Obviously every unique story, and how well interesting, or how often do people who are survivors want to speak of that? I suppose everybody has their own way of interpreting that that pain.
Well, initially, after the Holocaust, for years and years and years, almost no Holocaust survivor ever spoke about the Holocaust. They wanted to put it behind them, try to get on with their lives, and a very difficult thing to do. And then as the years went on, I would say probably the most instrumental person was Elie Wiesel, who started to come out and say, you know, if we don't talk about it, people might not believe it existed, that it happened. So he started to talk a lot of survivors into getting their voices heard. And then it became a thing where, you know, mainly like I would say in the 70s and after that, the 80s for sure, 90s, where they would go to schools and speak to a lot of students and a lot of survivors would then start to tell their story. So this person, Carol Wilner, has a very unique, and also, like, I've heard a lot of Holocaust survivors speak, and every story is different, but they all have common themes, which are basically there was times when they went through the Holocaust where they truly faced death, and it was usually many times, and something happened that saved them at that moment. And Carol has that story also. My great friend passed away, Erwin Froman, who lived in our community. His story was he was being taken to the gas chamber to be exterminated because a train didn't show up that day, and they had to keep the crematorium going. They didn't want to shut it down, so they just rounded up people in the camp and took them to the gas chamber. So they took 1,000 people there, but just as they were going in to be murdered, a guard ran up and said, "We need 50 people for a work permit. We need to take them to work someplace." And so they just picked 50 people out randomly, and Erwin was one of them. So it's like those kind of stories that are always intertwined. And the other thing I notice a lot about a Holocaust survivor, usually they almost all say the same thing at the end of their talk, which is America is the greatest country in the world. And we could have some problems, but we're not going to be able to overcome our differences. And always remember the greatness and the freedoms that we have in America. So that's another common theme. But in this case, I don't want to give away too much of Carol's story because she's going to tell it. But basically, she was a child survivor. She was put in hiding when she was very young and had some miraculous moments where she survived. Her parents kept her alive, and I don't want to say too much. I hope people will come and actually hear it.
Sure.
Hear it firsthand.
Well, let's talk about those programs again. You have on Sunday, May 5th, over at Oberlin, at their Oberlin Conservatory of the Warren Concert Hall, and then Monday at the Lorraine Palace. Talk about those programs, how they're similar, different, or what people can choose to go to either one of those.
Okay. A lot of the program is pretty much exactly the same. The reason we're having it at Oberlin College this year is because I don't know how many people have heard of the Violins of Hope, but the Violins of Hope are these violins that were hidden during the Holocaust by the owners of these violins as they were being taken to Auschwitz. So some of them buried these violins in their backyard. Some actually threw them out of trains as they were being taken to Auschwitz, and they were buried in the snow, but later recovered. And these violins, a lot of these violins were being restored in Israel. And then they travel all over the world in symphonies. And they have a story of their own survival, and that's told at the programs that you hear if you go to the symphony. So I don't know why this year, but I decided I'd love to get some, a few of these Violins of Hope to come to Lorain County if possible. So I thought, they're not probably going to give, Arnie Milner these violins, but they might give the Oberlin College Conservatory these violins. So I went and met with got a rabbi from Oberlin, and I talked to him, and we went and met with the dean of the conservatory at Oberlin College and told him what we were interested in, and he was very excited about the project. And so we did a Zoom call with Avishai Weinstein, who was actually the son of Amnon Weinstein, who was restoring the violins and unfortunately just passed away last month. But anyway, obviously, we did a Zoom call with him, and at first he said, "No, I can't give you any violins because we have the violins basically booked until 2026. They only go to big cities. They're recently in Prague. We actually are going to have them in Pittsburgh and, different big cities." And so we said, "Can't you just give us a few of these, a couple of them?" So he said, "Well, we have one that's almost done. We have a couple that aren't restored yet, but we can give those to you to show the audience." And so I was still a little nervous because we didn't have them in our hands. But actually, as of yesterday, we had somebody from the college went to Chicago and picked up the violins. So we have the violins. And so the first program will be at Oberlin College in their conservatory. And that's going to be on Sunday, May the 5th at 4:30. And that'll be an incredible program. And then the next night We're going to bring it to Lorain and have it at Lorain Palace, and that'll be at 7 p.m., and there's no charge for either program. The programs are, like I say, essentially the same, except on Monday I've added a couple more things that I like to do at the program, and we don't want to make the first program too long. This will be just a little bit longer than the first program, the one at on Monday at Lorain Palace, but we're going to honor the veterans at night for what they do for us and the freedoms we have and the fact that they were able to save Holocaust survivors. So we're going to honor the veterans that night, and we're also that night going to bring in most of the survivors that were, well, all of the survivors in Lorain County are now have passed, but we're going to bring a few of their children in and just put up on the screen a picture of their parents and honor them and have those children stand just to let everybody see, you know, that it was real. And these people are, you know, the children of the survivors. So we're going to do that on Monday also. But the rest is pretty much the same. We're going to have the violins at both programs. Carol will be at both programs speaking, and also her granddaughter will be singing at the program. So
you will have some musical performance going on as well, right?
Well, yeah, we have actually the professors at Oberlin College that teach the violin are going to play these violins both nights, and that's going to be really amazing. They picked out pieces that were actually written by composers that were in a concentration camp. Most of them wrote these pieces while they were being imprisoned. And so what they would do is some people would you know, bring these instruments, you know, a couple instruments into like the barracks of these concentration camps. But then the person would compose a piece for just like three instruments, maybe a violin, a viola, and a cello. And that's all they had in the barracks. And we'll be playing music off of that. So it's going to be very emotional, I think. And so that'll be kind of the first half of the program with the Violins of Hope. And then the second half of the program will be Carol telling her story and then having her granddaughter sing. So it's going to be, I think, an incredible evening. And I hope everybody can come and hear history firsthand.
And we should mention these are both free events, Sunday, May 5th at 4:30 at the Oberlin Conservatory Warner Concert Hall, and Monday, May 6th, 7 p.m. at the Lorain Palace Theater. Let's talk about the impact you have on students. It's important for this to be a Remembrance Day as well as sort of educational. Young people who maybe just obviously maybe read about this or maybe themselves have not been exposed to what took place. Talk about the days that you have on the 7th and 8th for students in the area.
Okay, yes. It's not really open to the public. It's only open for middle and high school students. And it's kind of been a progression for me. As you know, initially when I started to put these programs together about 10 years ago, I didn't really know how to go about and how to get students to come hear what I thought was a very important part of history that they needed to hear. And I would go to schools and I'd talk to a lot of principals, and principals would say, oh, this is a great idea, I'm going to talk to some teachers. But I really had a lot of trouble getting students to come. And in my 2018 program, I heard about a woman who was teaching a Holocaust program in New London, Ohio. And I called her and we met for lunch. And I always remember I was sitting with her and I said, it's really amazing. You're way out here and, you know, in the country. And I said, it's really interesting to me that you teach a Holocaust program. And I'll always remember what she said. She says, you know, we're not very diversified, but that doesn't mean we don't care. And that just struck home. And then when these students came to the program, I put them up in the second row, right behind the Holocaust survivor and her family. And the letters that I got from these students were like very emotional, and they talked about what that program meant to them, and you know how some of them had never met a Jewish people, and now they know that we're all the same, and. It was, and some wrote and said, I had two students write and say, I was kind of a depressed person in a way this past year, and I was having trouble, and And when I heard the speaker tell their story, I thought, if they can get through what they went through, I know I can get through what I got through and what I'm going through. And I just feel like this is going to change my life. And I thought, we really need to get students to come. So I started going back to all the schools the next year, 2018. And, you know, I had the same thing about, or the next year was 2019, I don't know. But anyway, they I'd go to these schools and say, well, it sounds interesting. And then I'd have my leverage. And I'd say, well, you know, New London is sending a lot of students. And why won't you? And they're like, oh, New London sent students? Okay, well, we're going to send. So the first year they said, can we send 50 students? Can we send 100 students? So we had a nice program. And then the following year, once they saw what the program was about, then I wrote to the schools. I didn't even have to go visit them anymore. They'd write back and say, can we send 400 students? Can we send 500 students? So it just kept growing. And now this year, I've been able to put two programs together, May 7th and May 8th, and I've actually gotten to fill up the entire Lorraine Palace Theater, which is really exciting for me that we're going to have 1,400 students come each day. We have about 25 schools now that are involved, and I'm really happy because even last year when we had the program, when some of the eighth graders were leaving the program, I said to them, you know, had you ever heard of the Holocaust before today? And all four of the students I talked to said no. So that just kind of like fuels my fire. I'm like, I have to keep this program going because these people really need, you know, most people need to know that the Holocaust was a part of our world's history. And it was a time when we have to realize that we just can never allow evil to overtake the world again as it did in the 1930s and 1940s. So.
You know, 80 years sounds so long ago, but and some of those stories seem like they could be today in some sense, really.
Yes, they could. Yes, we have a short film to start the event with. It's about 2 minutes long, and it's a man who went in and liberated Buchenwald, which was a concentration camp, and he was talking at a 1981 conference about liberation of Holocaust survivors, and everything he said, unfortunately, is still true today. You know, that we still need to talk about it. We still have people out there saying it never happened, and everything he said. So I started the program this year with this 2-minute talk, and it's really important that, you know, like a lot of young people think, like, you know, like you're just saying, like 80 years is a long time ago, but in terms of the world history, it's a minute ago, and we just cannot allow ourselves to forget, because as we've been told many times, if you do not study history, you are possibly doomed to repeat it. So,
Arnie Milner, our guest this morning, again, the Holocaust Remembrance Day taking place in Lorain County Sunday, May 5th, 4:30 at Oberlin College's Warner Concert Hall, and also Monday, May 6th. At the Lorraine Palace at 7:00. And I know do you have a place people can get more information? I did see on the Oberlin College website under their events, they do have some good descriptions of things that'll be taking place.
I mean, the only other place is if you looked up on your website, like Lorraine Synagogues, it will come up, our synagogue, Agudath B'nai Israel Synagogue, and it's on our website. And it's really easy to get to. It's the only synagogue, Jewish synagogue in Lorraine. And as soon as you bring up the website, it's on the front page. It tells about the program. It has a flyer showing the program. And there's, like I say, it's free. There's no tickets involved, so you just come. I'd come, hopefully, you know, I'd say come a little bit early. Don't come right at 7. I mean, you'll get in, but it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be a nice crowd that will come, and so you want to kind of get there early and get a nice seat, and see this, you know, like I say, seeing history firsthand when we have a rare opportunity, and it's not going to last much longer because most of the survivors are now gone, and also an opportunity to see these violins that was a very hard feat to get to Lorraine County, because like I say, they do not come to small towns. They only go to big cities. So we're very fortunate to get them here.
I'm amazed that they will be playing those. I thought they maybe just have them on display sometimes as an artifact, but they're bringing them to life by playing them.
Yeah, they're bringing them all back to life, and we show a little movie in the program about the person that restored them and what it meant to him to bring these violins back. And in a sense, just another way of saying, you know, we were not defeated. And what you wanted to do, which is to kill every Jewish person in the world, did not happen. And we're still here, and we've been here for really almost 6,000 years. And luckily, and thank God that we still exist, which is pretty amazing.
Well, Arnie, we appreciate your chat with talking with you today, and thanks for getting what you do and bringing all those fascinating people and the stories to us each year. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.